It's before 8. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will hear updates on two major city projects during its work session and meeting tonight. At its 5 p.m. work session, the Assembly will get an update on the Harrigan Centennial Hall renovation from city staff and architects, including a run-through of the most recent design. And during its regular meeting at 6, the Assembly will hear an update on the Blue Lake Dam expansion. The Assembly will also vote on whether to apply for federal grants to design the next phase of the Sitka Seawalk and Cross Trail. The grants would allow the city to design an extension of the Seawalk from the O'Connell Bridge to Centennial Hall and an extension of the Cross Trail from Kramer Avenue to the ferry terminal. The Assembly will also vote on whether to authorize the hire of a new police lieutenant and will consider establishing a new city program offering rebates for residents who install heat pumps in their homes. Tonight's meeting begins at 6, and Raven Radio will provide live coverage at that time. The work session on the Centennial Hall renovation takes place before the regular meeting at 5 p.m. As state lawmakers extended their session past its Sunday deadline, one issue of particular importance to Sitka remains in limbo, a loan to complete the Blue Lake Dam expansion. The city is seeking legislative approval for a low-cost loan from the Alaska Energy Authority to fund the final stage of the Blue Lake project. The loan would be a cheaper way to fund the project than issuing a municipal bond, which is the city's other option, and could potentially avert another electric rate hike down the road. Sitka needs about $18.5 million to finish the Blue Lake project. The Energy Authority requires approval from both the House and Senate before the city can enter into negotiations for the loan. Sitka Senator Bert Stedman added language authorizing the loan to House Bill 297, which passed the Senate on Thursday night, but the language was dropped over the weekend in wrangling between the two houses. For now, the loan authorization is not attached to a bill, and either house in the legislative session could end at any time. The 90-day session was supposed to end on Sunday, but was extended when lawmakers could not reach agreement on several major issues, including education funding. Two crewmen were rescued safely after their troller ran aground in heavy seas in Sitka Sound early Monday morning. The 52-foot steel-hulled troller Mirage radioed a distress call at about 3:30 in the morning. The boat had gone aground on the southern shore of Low Island in surf and strong southerly winds. Don Cluding coordinates Sitka's Mountain Rescue Team, which also conducts maritime operations. Cluding says he and three other team members left the harbor in darkness and used night vision goggles and a global positioning system to navigate out to Low Island, where they arrived at daybreak. The team was prepared for the worst.
You know, full precautions, had everybody in dry suits and had tow ropes and, you know, kind of briefed it up that we were going to have to establish a tow, had a line gun with us, basically getting ready to, you know, be able to pull a fairly large vessel out of the surf and, you know, try to give him enough to keep the waves from pushing him farther and farther up on the rocks to get him under his own power.
Low Island is a known hazard in Sitka Sound or a known recreation area, depending on your point of view. When a swell is running, Sitkans occasionally surf the waters between Low Island and Shoals Point. Cluding and his team found the Mirage at daybreak, and it quickly became clear that the stranded troller would not be going anywhere.
Had breaking surf conditions, you know, 100 yards from him all the way around him. And so we had circled, you know, around that south end of Low Island trying to figure out a path to get in close. And it was, you know, pretty much not going to happen. And so made the quick determination that we needed to get a helicopter out from Air Station Sitka.
Cluding says a rescue boat was able to get within 50 yards of the Mirage while waiting for the helicopter and stood by in the event the troller capsized or swamped and the two crewmen were forced into the water. The Coast Guard chopper rescue crew determined that the safest course of action would be to let the tide go out from under the Mirage. After about 90 minutes, the helicopter landed on Low Island, and the two fishermen were able to walk ashore unharmed and board the aircraft. Cluding says he is not optimistic about an immediate salvage of the Mirage.
Not a friendly location, you know, getting a larger vessel in there and establishing a tow rope in those conditions is going to be challenging at best. And with that tide not being as high, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to actually drag it off or, you know, that next storm coming in, you know, hopefully doesn't beat the hull up too bad.
The weather forecast for Sitka called for winds of 29 knots yesterday, and seas of 13 feet with seas falling to 9 feet today. Cluding was accompanied on the mission by Gerald Gangle, Tyler Orbison, and Jake Dernherder. Cluding says he's received no official word on the cause of the accident. The Coast Guard reports the Mirage has about 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel on board. The Mirage is registered to J&J Mirage LLC in Elfin Cove, Alaska. According to state records, it is valued at $200,000. Supporters of a bill to make 20 Alaska Native languages official state languages organized a 15-hour sit-in protest at the Capitol on Sunday. Their dedication paid off early on Monday morning when the Alaska Senate passed the measure on an 18-2 vote. The Alaska House passed HB 216 last week, 38-0. It now heads to Governor Sean Parnell for his signature. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
Dozens of people of all ages and races, many wearing their Easter finest, gathered in the hall outside Senator Liesl McGuire's office. The Anchorage Republican and chair of the Senate Rules Committee had the power to put House Bill 216 on the Senate's calendar. But with the end of the legislative session looming, the bill's supporters worried it was getting caught up in last-minute behind-the-scenes politics. The group started their vigil just after noon, singing, dancing, and playing drums, and talking about why Alaska Native languages are so important.
Our language is everything. It's the air we breathe. It's the blood that flows through our veins.
Lance Twitchell is a professor of Native languages at the University of Alaska Southeast. HB 216 would add the state's indigenous languages to a statute created by a 1998 voter initiative, which made English the official language of Alaska. While the bill is largely symbolic, Twitchell said it's important to recognize all languages as equal.
That's all we want, is equal value. And there's nothing wrong with standing up and saying that. It takes a lot of courage to do that, and it takes a lot of something else to try and go against that.
Many elders who attended the sit-in recalled being punished as children for speaking their languages. Irene Cadiente of Juneau said her teachers would hit her with a ruler when they caught her speaking Tlingit.
Sometimes I wonder when my hand hurt. Is it on account of me speaking Tlingit? My hands were rulered. Is that why it hurts? I never forget that.
Cadiente said she's proud that her great-grandchildren are now learning to speak the language. Heather Burge, a student in the Native Languages program at UAS, said she didn't understand how HB 216 could become controversial.
We should be at the point where this should be a non-issue, but it's still scary to some people, which is a little disheartening, but hopefully we can get past this.
After the group had been outside McGuire's office for about 30 minutes, the senator's chief of staff, Brett Huber, announced the bill would be scheduled for a floor vote. McGuire later made an appearance of her own.
We just got the bill, so we're going as fast as we can. But it's nice to see all of you. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your passion. I know you have support.
It was 3 a.m. by the time the measure finally reached the floor. Senator Donnie Olson, a Democrat from Golovin, who's a Inupiaq, said the bill would not have made it through the legislature without a groundswell of support.
The elders, the youth, Native and non-Native,
Senate Majority Leader John Coghill, a North Pole Republican, took responsibility for the delay in getting the bill to the floor. Coghill explained what he hoped to achieve last week when he proposed amending the bill to create a new category for ceremonial languages.
I thought if you had them in that place of honor, you would aspire to them and honor them, where if you put them in this place, they're more likely to be under tension that I think would be harder to get to the honor and easy to get to divisiveness.
Coghill said he was an apologetic no vote. He added that he would be willing to own up to it if he ends up being proven wrong. Senator Pete Kelly, a Fairbanks Republican, was the other senator to vote against the bill. After it passed, supporters gathered outside Senate chambers to embrace each other and shed tears of joy. Twitchell summed up the feeling with a Tlingit phrase.
At 2 o'clock, we succeeded. We obtained.
The bill explicitly says the official language designation does not require the state or local governments to conduct business in languages other than English. But Twitchell said putting them in the same part of the law builds momentum for future generations of Native language speakers. If Governor Sean Parnell signs the bill into law, Alaska will become just the second state after Hawaii to officially recognize indigenous languages. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
When the Alaska Senate passed House Bill 216 just after 3 a.m. yesterday, nobody was more thrilled than its primary sponsor, Sitka Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins.
Well, I'm all of 25 years old, but I've never seen anything like it.
Christ Hopkins introduced the bill and recruited its co-sponsors. At four separate points during this legislative session, he said he thought the bill was dead, but each time it was revived. And Christ Hopkins said it meant more to him than a regular piece of legislation.
They say not to fall in love with or get married with your legislation, but I was hopelessly in love and star-crossed with House Bill 216. And I think, if anything, it was a good thing because we never gave up.
Asked if he had expected the kind of response that the bill has received, Christ Hopkins said yes. The revival of native languages, he said, is one of the most important issues in Alaska.
This is recognition of Alaska Native languages as Alaska's languages. And these Native languages mean the world. I mean, they are who people are. I mean, if you talk with Selena Everson, who's a Tlingit elder here in Juneau, who speaks Tlingit, she grew up having her mouth washed out with soap for speaking Tlingit in BIA schools. The Tlingit language is, as much as anything else, who she is.
As of yesterday, that sentiment will be written into law pending the governor's signature. That's it for Raven News for this morning. It is just about 1 minute after the hour of 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. And a quick check with our weather picture for Sitka and Port Alexander today. Sunny, increasing clouds late in the afternoon with highs around 52. Light winds in the morning, becoming northwest to 10 miles an hour. And tonight, isolated rain showers, some clouds moving in, lows around 38 degrees, west winds at 10 miles an hour. Current conditions here in Sitka under beautiful clear skies, 35 degrees holding steady, and winds east at 6 miles an hour. Thanks for being with us this morning. If you can stay tuned at 8:18, it's Sitka Conservation Society in for the morning interview. Good morning.